Chapter 10. After 2 weeks at the U.S., it was time to board the ship that would take us to America. Hong Kong spilled crowds of people onto the docks. The docks poured them onto ships and boats, and those vessels fanned out into the bay, leaving the city in a thousand directions. Small boats, their sails unfurled, orbited the large steamers like flies around a giant oxen. I watched passengers file over the wooden platform and onto our ship. Pale faces broke from the herd and paraded up another platform to a higher deck. "Daughter," father called, snapping me back to where he stood with a man and a woman. I walked over to join them. "This is my daughter, Jade Moon." I bowed. "Daughter, these are the Yings." A broad smile that showed all of her teeth spread across Mrs. Ying's small, round face. Her warm eyes were framed by short hair and loose curls. She wore a heavy dress of faded black fabric with a full skirt and a fitted waist. I had never seen so much material used for one piece of clothing. I fiddled with the sleeves of my own tunic, soft from wear, the pants tied at my waist with a string. Father explained that Mrs. Ying had agreed to look after me. I would bunk with her and a handful of other women travelers. "She's stubborn and strong-willed," my father announced. "Then I think we will be good company for each other," Mrs. Ying said. My father wrinkled his nose, but I liked Mrs. Ying. I liked the way she stood taller than father and Sterling promised. I liked that she took up space without apology, her head raised and her arms swinging freely from her sides. I liked the way she smiled, teeth showing, no hand over her mouth. It was so different from Auntie Wu and her daughters-in-law, who giggled behind their fans. My heart grew sure that I would find the freedom that I needed in America. I followed Mrs. Ying to steerage, the belly of the ship, down a narrow aisle to the far end of a large room. It was dark and the air was heavy. The hum of the waiting engine vibrated through the walls. People crammed into every corner and the air already smelled of sweat and skin. Mrs. Ying found the women's section tucked behind the stairway, separated from the larger room with a burlap curtain. It was a plain room with only six cots, brown blankets folded on top. There was not a speck of color or a single window to release the stale air. An older woman was already settled in her cot. A younger woman buzzed around her, tucking in blankets and settling sewing into her hands. "Don't worry," Mrs. Ying nodded towards the two cots. "It is a dreary voyage, but in 4 weeks we will be home." "You live in America?" I asked, settling onto one of the beds. "Yes, we were visiting my husband's family here. It is the first time we have been back for many years. It was a hard thing to return to China. It is like asking a snake to get back in the skin it shed." I nodded. She removed a series of tiny hairpins and brushed out her dark hair before repinning the stray pieces blown loose by the wind on the deck. Her hands moved with speed and confidence. Two other women trickled in and began to build their beds with the small pillows and worn sheets and blankets folded on top of the thin mattresses. "Your father promised me a girl who talked too much," Mrs. Ying said, unfolding her own sheets and tucking them into the corners of her cot with energy. "He did not mention how irritating I can be?" "Yes, he did." I looked down at my feet. "Of course he did." Mrs. Ying laughed. It was a loud laugh. The two other women stopped and stared at her, but she did not notice. "But what irritates your father may not bother me," she said, sitting on the bed next to mine. "Questions irritate him," I said, hugging the blanket to my chest. "Silence irritates me." The other women smoothed their beds, checked that their luggage was locked, and left whispering. "How long have you lived in America?" I asked, tucking the edges of the sheets under the mattress. "All my life. My father came to work on the Central Pacific Railroad." "Then you were born in America? You are an American?" "Yes and no," she sighed. She unpacked a round sewing basket and several small bottles from her bag. "Do you speak English?" "Yes, I'll teach you some if you'd like." "I would," I said eagerly. "What is it like, America?" "Most countries are like their land, and America has good land, open and varied. But it is still a little wild." "Americans? They are wild too?" "My mother always said that they are like children," Mrs. Ying said. "They have the best intentions, but sometimes they behave badly despite that. They are full of joy and anger, laughter and bitter tears. They let one emotion wash over them, and then another. China is older and wiser, but there is a magic in the eyes of childhood, an ability to find the simple truths in life. These truths are appealing, even if they are only fragments of what is real. Americans do no harm, most of the time." She looked past me, "and even when they do, you forgive them because they are children and don't know any better." I looked down at the coarse tan fabric of my jacket. Mrs. Ying's clothes had straight lines and even curves, while mine had all the fits and starts of home sewing. I picked at the waist of my pants. "Do they dress like you?" "We saw some men in Hong Kong. They wore suits, and the women wore dresses, straighter and made of softer fabric than yours." "I don't think I am a picture of the current fashion. Some dress like me, others don't. The men do wear suits. What do they eat? Chinese food is very popular right now, she said as she folded a shawl she had pulled from her bag. What do you mean? They eat rice or noodles cooked in oil with vegetables and meat. Oh, I was disappointed. I eat that at home. They also have this wonderful food called jello. Mr. Ying loves it. It is cool and sweet. It comes in bright colors. Her eyes sparkled with excitement. It starts out as a liquid, but when you chill it in the ice box, it becomes a wobbly solid. It is delightful. You will have to come to my house and have some when you are in America. As I opened my mouth to ask what an ice box was, the engines shuddered to life. Mrs. Ying nodded towards the stairwell and led me up to a small deck where rows of Chinese pushed against the railing. Mr. Ying joined us. She rested her hand on his arm and said something that made him look at her, his face soft and happy. I smiled at the vision of what I would have in America, the easy smile and smooth movements of someone who had a big enough life. I watched the smokestacks give birth to a gray dragon's breath that writhed and twisted above us. Brushstrokes of light shone from behind the clouds. As we pushed out to sea, the buildings and noise and crowds of Hong Kong shrank into the expanse of water behind us. That evening, I met Father and Sterling Promise in the common room for dinner. After we ate our cabbage and rice, the tables were cleared and the fantan games began to form around us. Some men overturned a bowl of beans, then bet on the number of beans under the bowl. Other men sat alone, drinking tea and staring past the walls of the ship. I watched several pull thin booklets of folded brown paper out from under their hats. What are those books that they are reading? I said to Father and Sterling Promise. They are studying for the exam to get into America, Sterling Promise said. Sit down. We have our own coaching book to study. An exam? But we have Uncle's papers. I thought those got us into America. Uncle had a paper son. I remembered Master Yue using that term, congratulating Sterling Promise on avoiding the cost of one. What is that? My father lowered his gaze to meet mine, warning me against too many interruptions and questions. Sterling Promise said, America has been tricky, not letting Chinese come to America or be citizens. In Hong Kong, they say the Americans have laws like tigers. What can you expect from foreign devils? Father muttered. He rose and left to join a group of men playing cards in the corner. Sterling Promise watched him go. Then he leaned closer and winked, making my heart stumble. I know how much you like stories. I will tell you one. I took a breath and waited. It all started in San Francisco nearly 20 years ago. An earthquake caused a fire, and the fire burned the list of citizens the Americans had made. He paused, and I nodded to show I understood. They needed to make the list again, so the Chinese played a trick. All the Chinese in San Francisco went to the government to put themselves and their children on the new list. The Americans asked, "Were you born in America?" And the Chinese said, yes, of course. Some of them were lying, but no one could prove it. So suddenly, they became American citizens. Then the Americans asked, do you have children? The Chinese thought for a second. A man might have one son back in China, or even two or three with him in America. But he couldn't pass up his good luck, so each Chinese man told the Americans, I have three or four or five sons, all born here, then sent back to China. And like magic, all the sons are Americans too. But I don't understand what this has to do with us, I said. Despite the joy in Sterling Promise's eyes as he told his story, it was nothing like the ones Niu Xu told. Those extra sons, those are the paper sons. The Chinese in America sold the sons' identities to people who want to come be Americans. 16 years ago, Master Yue bought a paper son for your uncle so he could go to America and oversee Master Yue's investments there. He became Sung Feng Hao. And that is the paper you gave father, the paper son? No, because your uncle was admitted once, he has legal papers that say he can enter again. And those are the papers that you gave to father. Yes, he will pretend to the Americans that he is your uncle, Sung Feng Hao. I tried to imagine my father pretending to be the brother he had resented for so long. And who are we? We are his children, Sung Sterling Promise and Sung Jade Moon. We can keep our given names because the Americans have never heard them. Why do we have to pretend to be people we aren't? Sterling Promise shrugged. The Americans like business, so they let merchants in and they let them bring their wives and children. Your uncle planned to bring me over as his son, so he made a deal and became a partner in a store that sold Master Yue's fireworks to get his merchant papers. But before the Americans admit us, we will have to prove that we're related. He held up the coaching book. That is why we have this. I looked at the thin book, then at Sterling Promise's eager face. I still don't understand what the coaching book is, I said. The Americans know that the Chinese have figured out ways around their laws. They will ask you and I the same questions they asked your uncle about our paper family, the Sungs. They may even call our paper grandfather in to be interviewed. Then they will compare our answers to the Sungs' answers, to your uncle's records, to each other's answers. If everything matches, they will let us in. If it doesn't, they will send us back. He tapped the book. This is the story that will get you into America. I don't like this story. It is built on too many lies. He shook his head. It is tempting to live how you do, to kick at the very air you breathe, but what does it gain you? I knew the answer, a tight feeling in my chest and a belly full of bitterness. Sterling promised to smooth the page of the book for a moment. Can I see it? I said, holding my hand out. Be careful, he said. He handed me the thin brown book, 10 or 12 pages sewn together with a thick thread. The page it opened to was covered with dense writing, a series of questions and answers. Who got the water and did the cooking? My mother. What direction did the village face? East. How many houses were there? There are three rows of houses, about 10 houses total. The questions filled the page, except for a drawing of a house in the bottom corner, sketched as if we were looking down at it from the sky with a roof off. That is the house the Sung family lived in, Sterling Promise said. I stared at the page, fragments of a family story drawn out for strangers. I wondered if this family knew they were getting a fire horse. How simple my own story would look, mapped out like this. Would someone still be able to see my heartache between the tight lines of characters? The frustration, the kicking and fighting? It would be hard to put all of that on paper. Ask me anything about it. I studied the page. How many rooms are in our house? 7. I counted them. He was correct. What are the walls made of? Clay. Ask something hard. Who are our closest neighbors? I said. The Long family. Where is their house? To the west. You could see it from the front yard. What else? What are they like? What are they like? Sterling Promise leaned over the book and looked at the page. What do you mean? What are they like as people? Are they good neighbors? Is the wife a gossip? Are the girls well behaved? He took the book from me. Where does it say what they're like? He demanded, turning the pages. It doesn't. You have to imagine their story, I said. Imagine? I don't have to imagine. I only have to know what is in this book, he tapped the page. What if they ask something that is not in the book? Everything is in the book. Not everything, I said, thinking of my own story again. Sterling Promise looked at me. He was so close that I could smell the cabbage we had eaten for dinner on his breath. If you give answers that are different from your uncle's or mine, or your father's, they won't let us in. Our answers have to match, like a family's would, he said. Then we may want to practice questions that aren't in the book, I said through gritted teeth. This is important, Jade Moon. I met his eyes. It is important to me, too. It is not the same, he said, leaning back. You just want to leave China. I want to get into America. That is not true. The farther I got from China, the more I felt America tugging at the ties wrapped tightly around me. Its loud laughter, its childlike enthusiasm, its bright jello. I dropped my head. Sterling Promise examined me for a few seconds, causing the blood in my face to warm. What do you think America will be like? I asked him. Your uncle used to say that it was a place where stories began, a place where any ending was possible. My eyes widened. Did Uncle like stories? He liked possibilities, he said. I think America is a land that allows you to walk away from an old life into a better one. I nodded slowly. And you, what do you think it'll be like? It will have, what do you call it, getting to live as you are. Freedom, he said, but he wasn't looking at me. That is what it will be, freedom. I wouldn't think you would care for freedom. It would take away all your reasons to fight. I squeezed my hands into fists. I don't enjoy the disapproval of Auntie Wu or the stares from the villagers when I am too loud or too bold. I don't relish the gossip of neighbors. I don't want to be married to someone just because he is the only one ignorant enough to take me. And despite how I behave, even I am not so foolish to think that I can win a fight against the rest of the world. He nodded, but said nothing. I had revealed too much. I don't know why all my thoughts had to force their way out of my mouth. Do you want to study some more? I asked. I think that is enough for tonight. We all have to learn the answers in the book, he said, shooting a glance at Father's back. Father too? I thought he had already had the merchant papers. Yes, but your uncle was supposed to be back long before now. Master Yue said that the Americans might be suspicious and question him too. They are always looking for lies. I looked down at the worn brown book in his hand. Can I keep the coaching book? Just for tonight, to study. He hesitated. You don't want me to ruin everything. He handed over the book. Thank you, I said, as I unfolded my legs and stepped towards the stairs. I thought of one more thing I wanted to say, stopped and turned back. Sterling Promise, I won't make you rescue me again like you had to with a firework or the grocer in Hong Kong. I won't get in the way of your dreams. He smiled at me. If that is true, he said, I'll help you find the freedom you seek.